Good evening. We're going to be in Philemon tonight, so no page turning. But when we look at the book of Philemon, it's one of the shortest books in the New Testament. But it carries an enormous weight. It is not merely a private note. It is a living picture of forgiveness, reconciliation, and Christian brotherhood. It shows us what happens when people stop seeing each other according to the flesh and begin seeing each other through Christ. The great lesson of this book is the gospel does not merely change what we believe, it changes how we treat one another. And so what does the gospel create? Well, it creates a new family. In the first two verses of Philemon, in these opening words, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archibus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. We need to understand just with these words here, we see that Christianity is not just individual salvation. But notice the language of family and fellowship here. Beloved brother, our sister, fellow soldier, and church in your house. Paul viewed Philemon as more than an acquaintance. He was a brother, and that matters because the whole appeal of this letter rests on that truth. We see with the world, it divides people by class, race, wealth, background, and status. But in Christ, those walls are torn down. And we see that within Philemon here. And we'll soon see with Onesimus. But this is one of the most beautiful truths of the gospel. In Christ, we become a family. And so, as Christians, what are we to do? A faithful Christian refreshes the hearts of others. In verses 4 through 7 of Philemon, it says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the full knowledge of every good thing which is in you for the sake of Christ. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. And so Philemon was the kind of Christian that refreshed hearts. And another that we mention in Acts, Barnabas. Barnabas, who was an encourager. He would encourage others. And so what a wonderful description of a faithful disciple. We know that there are people who discourage others, create tension everywhere they go, and some are harsh, cold. I've been in congregations where it was a cold welcome. I've been in congregations where there was division. I've been in congregations where there have been gossips. It's in the church, but that is not how the church operates. We are a godly family and we are to treat one another. Because if we can't treat one another with love and encouragement, we won't be able to do it outside the walls. So we see with Philemon, he had a reputation for love, faith, and encouragement. Would that describe us as the church? We need brethren who strengthen one another, who lift burdens, who show kindness, who speak truth with grace, and who make it easier to serve the Lord. And sadly, there have been people driven away from serving the Lord because of those who discourage, those who speak harshly, those who tear people down. And for them, it's sin. And so a congregation becomes strong when brethren truly take care of one another. And we see that with Philemon. And we see it with Paul. We see it with all the apostles and all the disciples and how they treated one another And it flooded over to the world how they treated others. It's so important that we see this is what the church is to be. And so what can the gospel do? Well, the gospel changes people. As we see in verses 10 through 11 of Philemon here. I plead with you for my child Onesimus, of whom I became a father in my chains, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. Here's the heart of this letter, and it revolves around Onesimus. Onesimus, who was a slave, and his name means useful or profitable. He says that once Onesimus had been useless, but now he had become useful. So why the change? Because the gospel changes people. Whatever Onesimus had been before, he was no longer the same man. That old man had been put to death. We know that when we hear and believe the gospel and obey it, it should change us. It should change all of us. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Absolutely not. But that change should be evident to us and to those around us. And so we know that the gospel can transform the immoral, the dishonest, the angry, the selfish, the rebellious, the proud, the broken. Look what it did to Paul. We all know who Paul used to be, a man who murdered innocent people, who threw people in jail. He was not a good man. But what did the gospel do? It changed him. Christ changed him. And now, once again, we see Paul changing others with the same message that changed him. And so, with the gospel, and once it changes us, there is a hard thing that we must learn to do. And what is that hard thing? Well, it's forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the hardest tests of Christian love. In verses 12 through 14 of Philemon, I have sent him back to you in person. That is my very heart, whom I intended to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but voluntary. So Paul wanted to keep Onesimus with him, to minister to him, but he's sending him back to Philemon. Now, once again, Philemon was a slave. Whatever maybe he owed Philemon, whatever it may be, but he's sending him back. Philemon would have taken off and would have come and found Paul or ran into him. Verses 15 and 16 here, Philemon. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? And so this is where forgiveness becomes real. He's sending him back. Onesimus escaped, ran off, and maybe have done something to harm Philemon or whatever it may be. And so we need to understand with forgiveness, we need to understand it is harder when someone has wronged us personally. It is harder when trust has been broken. It is harder when there has been pain. You know, I think about families who have been affected by serial killers or even people in their own family who have done something harmful towards their children or to the parents. Things like that happen in our world. And then you see when they get up to testify, hatred, anger. And once again, coming from a human perspective, I understand. But as a Christian, which is more important, we need to learn to forgive when these wrong things occur. It's so easy to love those who love you. It's so easy to forgive those who show repentance. It's even harder to forgive when there is no repentance. And we need to understand, if there is no repentance, we are to forgive. That means hold no grudges. We are to love them and to hopefully bring them into a spiritual, clean situation to bring them back into Christ. But we know with Christ, if there is no repentance, there is no forgiveness. And so Philemon 18, verse 18, but if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. And so Philemon here was put in a hard position, was being asked to receive back someone who had likely failed him deeply. But Paul says, receive him now no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. So Onesimus is now a brother in Christ, and Philemon is to receive him back. You know, one thing that I have noticed within congregations, people have a past, and there are people who go astray. Are we going to treat them differently? Are we going to hate on them? No. If they've been reconciled, if they have repented and reconciled to God and have come back, we need to treat them as a brother and sister in Christ. We are not to judge them according to their past or what they have done. It's been forgiven. And even if they haven't repented, we need to show love, not compromising with their sin, but we need to help guide them back to Christ. Because the more hatred we show them, or the more of a cold shoulder we show, it's not going to do any good to bringing them back to Christ. As Christians, we cannot claim to rejoice in God's forgiveness while refusing to extend forgiveness to others. Jesus taught this plainly. Those who have been forgiven must be willing to forgive. And have we been forgiven much? Absolutely. Do we deserve forgiveness? No. Christ could have decided, yeah, I'm not going to die for you people. We'd be condemned. We'd be lost. But he died for people who were ungrateful. He died for people who crucified him. He died for people who humiliated, mocked him, tortured him. We are to be like the perfect example, which is in Christ, forgiving those who have harmed us. And so, confidence and obedient love. With the ending of the letter to Philemon, in verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. Paul believed that Philemon would do what's right, and even more. Because Philemon, once again, going back to the beginning of the letter, Philemon was a man, it's how I want to be described, a man who was encouraging, a man who was loving, forgiving, a man who was obedient, a brother in Christ. And so the question, why? Because faithful Christians are expected to live out the implications of the gospel. You know, we talk about the four gospels. We are to be the fifth gospel. We are to live out the gospel. That's what we are called to do. The outside world expects it, and we should expect it from ourselves. If we proclaim to love Christ, we need to keep his commandments. We need to live it. Now, making it very clear, we're not perfect. We're going to fall. We're going to fail. But what God wants from us is to get back up, repent, and keep moving forward. Keep marching forward as soldiers and doing what he has called us to do. Philemon's faith was not only to be seen in worship or prayer or hospitality. It was to be shown in everyday life, daily conduct. And that's what Philemon would have done. It was to be showed by how he treated one who had wronged him and now returned as a brother in Christ. Now, we don't know what would have turned out. We don't have anything further. But if Paul trusted that Philemon would do what he asked, and even more, I'm sure Philemon would have accepted Onesimus back with open arms, would have forgiven and treated him as a brother in Christ. And so the question is, are we a Philemon or are we not? That's what we need to answer and figure out this night. Are we a Philemon? Or are we like the world? Because the world teaches, if you do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong. an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But is that what we are called to do? No. We are called to forgive even those in Christ's teachings. We are called to pray and love our enemies. It's what we're called to do. Those who persecute us. Look what Christ uttered on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what we as Christians today are called to do. Even if there is no repentance, we need to forgive, not hold grudges, and to love them and to show them Christ in our daily living. And so this evening, if you're not a Christian, understand God is still waiting on you to answer the call tonight. And he's waiting with arms wide open to receive you if you believe and obey. And this is how you become a Christian this night. You hear and believe the word. You repent of your sins. Change. Everything about you changes. You're no longer the old person. You're denying, rejecting that life and turning to God. And then you confess your faith in Christ, making it known before the congregation and before the world every day that you are a follower of Christ. Those who confess me before men, I will confess before my Father. But it doesn't stop there. Like so many false doctrines teach, we are to be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. When you are put under that water, your old self is being buried, put to death, and the blood of Christ washes over you. And when you raise out of that water, you are now walking in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful, and that means walking and talking and being an example to others who are lost, living out the gospel in your life. Or if there has been those who were Christians have gone astray or struggling and have failed, now's the night to come forward, to repent, to be reconciled to God, and allow us, your brothers and sisters in Christ, your family, to help encourage you and lift you up. Don't wait, for we are not promised tomorrow. If there's anyone here this evening who needs Christ, come while we stand and while we sing.